Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Mem Vav Amud Aleph. Yesterday we left off with the three-way machloket with regards to the brocha on lulav and the brocha on sukkah. We had the opinion of Rav Yehuda Mar Shmuel that you make a brocha for the 7 days on lulav and sukkah yom echad. But for sukkah you're making it only on the first day because it's a continuous mitzvah. So once you made the brocha, you do not have to make the brocha again. Rabbi Yochanan said the opposite, that on sukkah you make it on all 7 days because sukkah is deoraita. Whereas Ulav, you only make it on the first day, because only on the first day is Ulav deal, right? After that, it's Zechon and Mikdash, and you would not make a brocha. Then we have the third opinion, which is Rav, and I'm a Rabbi Yochanan, Echad Zeh, Ve'echad Zeh Shiva. That whether it's the Ulav or the Sukkah, all 7 days you make the brocha, which is the way that we pask in the Halacha. And now we have a challenge. Meiteve, Hose Ulav Liatzmo. Someone who makes his own Ulav, Omer, Baruch Shehechianu Vikiyamanu Vihigianu Lazmanazeh. Makes the Shehechianu over making the Lulav. Rashi, interestingly enough, mentions it's Be'erev Yom Tov. That when he makes an Be'erev Yom Tov, he makes the Shehechianu. So Rashi is talking about that it needs some sort of context in order to make Shehechianu. It's not just any time you make your Lulav, but in the context of Sukkot. Not lo, let's say Dvo. He takes it in order to be Yotzei the Mitzvah, meaning on the first day of Yom Tov. Then he makes the bracha, baruch, ser, kedi, shanu, mitzvuta, vitzivanu, al, nitilat, lulav. Vafal pi, shiberech, alav, yom rishon, chozeru, mevarech, kol shiva. So even though he made a bracha on the first day, he makes a bracha each day of the subsequent 6 days. Ose sukkah latzmo, someone who constructs a sukkah, omer, baruch, shehechianu, vikiyamanu. He makes the shehechianu over the making of the sukkah. He goes in to sit in the sukkah. Makes the bracha that we do when you sit in the sukkah, which is leshev sukkah. And once you made the bracha on the first day, you don't make a bracha on the subsequent days. Kasha lulav adulav. Kasha sukkah asukkah. So now you have a problem for lulav, you have a problem for sukkah. How do we reconcile these issues? So, bishlamo lulav lulav lo kasho. That's not a problem. Kam bizman she beit mikdash kayam. Kam bizman she ain beit mikdash kayam. It's very simple. When the beit mikdash is around, you have 7 days deoraita on the mikdash. You can make a bracha each of the days. Post korban, after the mikdash is gone, then the first day is deoraita. The subsequent days are zeichel the mikdash. You don't make a bracha on the first day. So we can reconcile that. What about sukkah, sukkah kasho? What about the fact that sukkah is also problematic? Tanayehi tzemachloket tanaim. Detanya. Tfilin. Kol zman sheminichan mevarech alehen. Divrei Rabbi. Rabbi says, anytime that you put them on, you make a brocha. Chamim amim enu varech ala shachrit bilvad. You make a brocha once, and that's it. Itmar, we have machloket amaroim as the psak alocha. Abay amar hilchato kerabbi. Halacha is like Rabbi. Rova amar hilchato kerabbonon. And Rova says halacha is like the Rabbonon. We have a machloket debay in Rova. Generally, we paskin like Rova. Because this is not one of the Al-Kagam, one of the exceptions where we paskin like Abaye. Yet we know that we paskin here like Rabbi. Like Divrei Abaye. Because we make a bracha anytime you put on tefillin. Amar Rav Mori bro debat Shmuel. So Rav Mori, the grandson of Shmuel, says, Chazina le the Rova. I have witnessed Rava, and he did not practice like his psak. Ela makdim v'kai, he used to get up early. V'ayo lebeit kakisei, and he used to relieve himself, go to the bathroom. V'nofi, come out, umashi yode, and wash his hands. Umanach tefillin, he puts on tefillin. Umivarech, on the tefillin. V'chi, it's v'gzimna achrino, if he needs to go to the bathroom again. Ayo lebeit kakisei. Vinofik, he comes out again, umashi yodei, and washes his hands, umanach tefillin, umivarech. He puts on tefillin and makes another bracha. So he's making multiple brachot on tefillin on a single day. Not like the psak alocha that he holds like the chachamim. Vana nami, kerabi abdinan, umavarchinan kol shiva. And we also paskin like Rabbi, with regards to tefillin, which is that you make a bracha every time you put on the tefillin. And that has implications for sukkah, which is that we make a bracha all 7 days of Sukkot. Amar marzutra, Chazinan lay the Rav Popi, the Cholema demonach tefillin mevorech. Anytime he put on tefillin, he used to make a bracha. Rabbonon debei Rav Ashi, Cholema demesham shebu mevarche. Anytime they used to touch them, that's what Rashi says. We know that from the Gemara Menachot, that a person is supposed to touch their tefillin at all times, because of a kav v'chomer mitzitz, just like the tzitz only has one Shem Hashem, and you have to have your mind on it all the time, then certainly the tefillin, which have many more Shemot Hashem, you should have your mind on all the time. So we touch our tefillin many times during davening to remind ourselves that we have the tefillin on and that the way that we should be presenting ourselves, thinking and concentrating, focusing on the tefillin. Anytime they touch the tefillin, they used to make a bracha. So now, question is, which bracha did they make? Right, so what do you mean every time they touched the tefillin they made a bracha? So there are instances where if a person put on tefillin without a bracha, afterwards when they want to make a bracha, we generally suggest to them that they should be mashmesh, they should move the tefillin in order to make a bracha. That could be the case. That generally happens when one puts on tefillin before the zman of tefillin. They can't make a bracha at the time he's putting on tefillin, or he puts on tefillin in a zman where he can't be mafsik in tefillah. For instance, he gets tefillin after baruch hu, before shema, and he can put them on quickly and say shema with tefillin on, then he would put them on without making a bracha. If he wants to make a bracha after the fact, he moves them or touches them in order to make a bracha, the same with the tzitzit. Moves them around, picks them up, moves them in order to make a bracha. Rav Moshe Feinstein in a tshuva says that it's not necessary. It's a nice thing to do. Chatzila, we do it. But even without that, you do not need to do that because tefillin is a perpetual mitzvah, continuous mitzvah. As long as you're wearing tefillin, there still is a reason to make a bracha on tefillin. Even if you didn't make a bracha beforehand, as long as you continue to wear tefillin, then there's a bracha to be said because you continue to do the mitzvah on a perpetual basis. Tosafot suggests that the bracha here is not the bracha rishona, the bracha of aliyach tefillin or al mitzvah tefillin. Rather, the bracha of lishmor chukav. Lishmor chukav is the bracha that one recites when they remove the tefillin. At the end of the day, if a person wears tefillin all day, when he unwinds, unwraps his tefillin at the end of the day, they used to make a bracha of lishmor chukav. Because they took it off because they thought Zvaila is lav zman tefillin hu. And since it's lav zman tefillin, when you take him off, you say lishmor chukav. We discussed this before, this bracha. There were Rishonim that thought that you make this on any termination of any mitzvah. There are many times that it's particular to tefillin. And we discussed in the past, based on the Rambam, and what I mentioned from Rav Meir Lichtenstein also, that lishmor chukav, the bracha, is about the shmirat tefillin. Part of the mitzvah tefillin is not only to wear tefillin, but it's also to guard or protect the kedushat tefillin. You guard or protect the kedushat tefillin by not wearing them in a bathroom, by not wearing them in a makom mitunav, by not having improper thoughts when you are wearing them. One of the times that it's significant is when you take them off at night. The reason that you take off tefillin at night is so that you don't sleep in them, shelo yafiach behem. So that's part of the mitzvah shmirat tefillin, and part of the shmirat kedushat tefillin is taking the tefillin off at a time when you shouldn't be wearing them at night. And when you say the bracha of lishmor chukav. So what's interesting over here is that the Rabbanan Debei Rav Ashi, according to Tosafot, were making that bracha every time they touched the tefillin. But it might derive from the same reason, which is, why are they touching their tefillin all the time? To engender a certain perspective, thought process where they are connected to their tefillin, and they're reminding themselves of that. They're maintaining a certain level of kedusha because they're reminding themselves they have the tefillin on. And therefore, maybe it is appropriate to say lishmor chukav, because that's what they're doing. By touching it, the tefillin, they are maintaining that level of kedusha, protecting the kedushat tefillin by reminding themselves that they're wearing tefillin. That that means they have to present themselves in a certain manner. They have to think in a certain manner. And maybe that's why they made such a bracha of lishmor chukav all the time. Again, it's an interesting statement of the Debei Rav Ashi. Now, we have here mitzvot that are of different quality. We mentioned this yesterday with regards to lulav versus sukkah. There are certain mitzvot that are perpetual mitzvot or mitzvot that are continuous. Other mitzvot which are momentary, like the taking of lulav. You pick up the lulav, then you're done with the mitzvah of lulav. You eat matzah, then you're done with the mitzvah of eating matzah. Generally, mitzvot that involve a maisa, an action, a particular action, those mitzvot are done once the action is complete. There are other mitzvot that are continuous, like putting up a mezuzah on one's door. One is mekayim the mitzvah through an asiyah, putting up the mezuzah, but there is also then a continuous mitzvah of having a house that has mezuzot on the house. Same with tefillin. One is mekayim the maaseh of putting on tefillin, aniach tefillin, when they adorn themselves, they wrap themselves in tefillin. But there is then a mitzvah afterwards to have the tefillin on. Some say that all by also by brit milah. Brit milah, there's a maisa of the brit milah to actually do the brit milah. But then there's a kiyuma mitzvah that a person is mahul, person that has a milah. In general, the way to view the difference is that mitzvot that change the character of the individual, those mitzvot tend to be continuous or perpetual. So for instance, when you have a mezuzah on the door, it's not just that you put up a mezuzah, but now you have a house that has a mezuzah on it. That house with the mezuzah on it is a different house than a house without a mezuzah. And therefore the mitzvah continues because the status of that house has now changed. Same is true by milah. A person who's mahul is different than a person without a milah. There's a status granted to someone who has a milah. And therefore the mitzvah perpetuates after the maaseh ha-mitzvah. The same is true, Rav Soloveitchik suggested by tefillin, that after a person puts on tefillin, then the person is not the same person as they were before. It changes the nature of the individual, especially with regards to tefillin shel rosh. By the tefillin shel yad, less so, but more so by the tefillin shel rosh. By tefillin shel rosh has all the restrictions, all the things you're not allowed to do in tefillin really relate to tefillin shel rosh. Number two is, we know the famous drasha the Gemara in Brachot brings, which is Ra'u kol mei haaretz ki shem Hashem nikra alecha, that the shem Hashem is found upon you. What is that? Elu tefillin shel rosh. These are tefillin shel rosh. When someone sees you with tefillin shel rosh on, you're a different person than without the tefillin shel rosh on. Soloveitchik there suggested that's why we make two brachot. We make a bracha of laniach tefillin, which is all the maise of wrapping the tefillin. The second bracha of al mitzvah tefillin is not on the maise of putting on the tefillin, but rather on the gavra, the change in the individual when he has tefillin on. And that individual is now a new person, a new individual. He has a person with tefillin on. Because of that, he makes the bracha of al mitzvah tefillin on that change in character, similar to what happens by milah. The two brachot by milah, many suggest that there is one bracha al hamilah, which is for the maisa hamilah. And then there's the other bracha, lahachniso bebrito shel Avram Avino, the other bracha that we make by the milah, which would reference to the change in the status of the child becoming a mahul. So therefore, we have a differentiation here between mitzvot that are one time, versus the even mitzvot that are continuous, but continuous and allow you to make different brachot. Now with regards to sukkah, we discussed this yesterday. When do you make a bracha in terms of sukkah? If it is really a continuous mitzvah, once you made the bracha once, you wouldn't make it again unless there's some sort of hesek hadat, something that takes you away from the mitzvah, like we saw here by tefillin. Rova made a bracha on the tefillin. When he went into the bathroom, he had to remove the tefillin. So when he put them back on again, he made a bracha. But he was continuously wearing them. He would not make a bracha every time he is wearing them, whenever he feels like it. Oh, I remember, let me make a bracha. That's not the case. There's no reason to make a bracha while you're involved or engaged continuously in the mitzvah. So that issue comes up with sukkah. Sukkah we saw as a mitzvah without interruption. It's a mitzvah that starts at the beginning of Sukkot and ends on the last end of the seventh day of Sukkot. So then why would you have to make multiple brachot in the sukkah? So it's easy to say if you have hesek hadat, if you leave the sukkah, so that might be enough of a reason. We'll have to speak about that in a second. There might be, the Magen Avraham says this with regards to Birkat HaTorah, that Birkat HaTorah, if one stays up all night, there's some controversy as to what you do in the morning with regards to Birkat HaTorah. Because of the safeg, we try to avoid making that bracha. We have someone else make the bracha. Or if you've slept in the afternoon, then you have a manuf shach of making the Birkat HaTorah during the morning, so you could make it. But the Magen Avraham says that every morning you have to make a new bracha, Birkat HaTorah. Every day is a new day, even though you didn't sleep the night before. So even if you learned all night and you come through the morning, you got to make a new Birkat HaTorah. It's a new day. So in that case, you could argue by sukkah, it's the same thing. So even though the mitzvah is continuous, day, night, but every new day requires a new bracha, even though you've been in the sukkah. That's one possible way to look at it. But generally, that's not the way that we practice. We generally practice is that when you have hesek hadat, when you leave the sukkah for a duration, for a amount of time that takes you away from the sukkah, not to get something from the house, not to get something from the kitchen, you can take yourself out of the sukkah. When you re-enter the sukkah, you make a bracha. Now, when do you make a bracha when you enter into the sukkah? The Rambam says when you sit down, once you sit down in the sukkah, you make a bracha of l'sheva sukkah. The Rambam has an interesting din with regards to Kiddush. Kiddush on the night of Sukkot. He says you should stand for Kiddush in order that you can make the bracha of l'sheva sukkah at the end and then sit down. Because if you sat down for Kiddush, you already have been making the mitzvah, you already have been l'sheva sukkah, and then you've been making the bracha afterwards. So from there, the many are medayik in the Rambam, two things. One is, it's interesting conceptually that he thinks that you have to make the bracha before you sit down in the sukkah, which obviously means that l'sheva sukkah is what drives the need for the bracha. Interpreting the word l'shev literally to mean to sit, rather than l'sheva sukkah, which means to dwell in the sukkah. And that will be part of the machloket here about how to interpret when you are chayav to make the bracha. Does it have to do with leshev literally sitting? Or leshev in the sense of dwelling in the sukkah? But number two is, from the Rambam, the Midayik, that generally he did sit for Kiddush. It was only on the first night of Sukkot that he stood up for Kiddush. because of this problem of Leshev Sukkah. The Rambam clearly thinks that that is the trigger for making the bracha on the Sukkah. Tosafot mentions over here, on the case of Sukkah, he makes a bracha, anytime you go in there to eat, drink, or sleep, you make a bracha of Leshev Sukkah. So there are many Rishonim that believe that doing any activity in the Sukkah requires a bracha. If you've left in, you come back in, it requires a bracha. On the other hand, the Rebbe says that any time that you're going to eat in the Sukkah, you have to make a bracha. But you make it when you sit down. Because as soon as you're going to sit down, that's the beginning of the eating in the Sukkah. And so because of that, you'd make the bracha immediately once you sit down in the Sukkah. On the other hand, the Rosh says, forget about when you sit down. You only make a bracha when you're going to eat in the Sukkah. And that's the way that the Shulchan Aruch paskins in Tafresh Lametet, Sif Chet, he paskins, Nagu, Shem Mivarchim al Sukkah, Ela Bishat Achila. The only time you make a bracha when you enter the Sukkah is when you're eating. V'hochi Nohug. And that is the Minog. Ramah writes over there, that's our Minog. The Minog is only to make the bracha once you go in to eat in the Sukkah. What you have to eat, that's also subject to controversy, how much of what you have to eat in order to trigger the bracha. But it's clear here that the Shulchan Aruch paskins like the Rosh, and the Ramah says that that is the Minog. The Mishnah Berurah is not so sure about that. And here in the Mishnah Berurah, in Sif Katan Memvav says, Tzorah Lamar, Af de Medina de Gemara, the data poskim Rishonim, even though if you just read the Gemara from the Rishonim, he should berech besukah v'yatza lasot inyano. He makes a bracha in the sukkah, and then he goes out to do whatever he has to do. V'lo lachzor tegef, that he is not going to return immediately. V'inyan ha'shaya yitziyah gmura, that he really left the sukkah. V'imkein arei hasiach tato min ha'mitzvah, so you left the mitzvah. K'shiachzor achakach tzarich levarech shenit. You have to, as soon as you come back, you got to make a new bracha. V'afilu me'at pi'amim bayom, even 100 times during the day. Even if you go back in and you're not eating, meaning that the mitzvah of sukkah is not simply to eat there, it's to live there, being in the sukkah. Sit down, stand up, sleep. Anything that you do in the sukkah is a part of the din of kein taduru, teshvu kein taduru, that you must live in the sukkah. V'davko shiyatza yitziyah gmura. That's only if he leaves in a real way. Despite that factor, the Mishnah Berurah himself thinks that you should make a bracha even if you just go to sleep there. If you're going to spend significant amount of time there and you don't plan on eating, he says you probably should make a bracha. I didn't see anybody know this way, but that's what the Mishnah Berurah says. If you're going in to sleep and you're not planning on eating a meal for the next while, you should make a bracha. Now he says if you're going to go in there and you plan on eating a meal a little later, then wait for the meal in order to make the bracha. But otherwise, he says you should make a bracha. Even if they're there for a duration before him, einam mevarchim. This really should bracha shemarchim acharkach al achila yipoteret hakol shehi ikar, because that's the main thing to eat in the sukkah. Yipoteret hasheina vatiyul valimud shukolam tefilim la, because those are secondary to the eating. V'katvu achronim. It's not a good idea just to sit there without making a bracha. To make a bracha on mizonot, eat more than kadeitza, and then don't make it a bracha afterwards. Right, according to the Mishnah, if you're going to go spend a significant amount of time there, and you don't plan on eating there, that you should make a bracha of Leshev Sukkah. Otherwise, you're not going to end up making a bracha on Leshev Sukkah. And he quotes the Chayodom, that anybody's going to spend a significant amount of time in the Sukkah should make a bracha. The Mishnah Berurah, earlier on in the Siman, talks about what triggers the need for a bracha on Achila. Over here he says you should eat mechameshet minim. Whereas earlier in the Siman, he's not as certain what exactly should trigger it. Maybe Mizanot only triggers it when you're making Kiddush on Shabbat morning, where there it's classified as a Suda for Kiddush, and therefore it triggers it. Maybe only if you have a Motzi is it enough to trigger the Bracha for Achila. That Mizanot is not enough. Tipkat on your Gimel. Tam d'Achila Perot, Afilu Harbe B'Kviyut, Chashiv Racha Achila Terai. Depat, V'Adin Achila Pasad Agim G'vina Shar Minei Ma'achal Chashuvim K'Pera. L'Data Shulchan Aruch. In the end, he's only machmir for mizonot.
Moshe
Machloket about whether wine is enough to trigger a leshiva sukkah. It has nafkamino for Abdullah. When you go make Abdullah in the sukkah, is the drinking of the yain enough to generate a bracha? Is makom akom linyan bracha is kimu kama achronim de in the varech leshiva sukkah kim al pat hasui mechameshim minei dagan only by amotzi. Oh, tavshil hasui mehe minim in koveya sudalav. Or one of the chameshim minim, if only if you're koveya sudah, which means if you went in to have cake in the sukkah, you would not make a bracha of leshiva sukkah according to this. Later on, again, the Mishnah Berurah seems to say later on in the Siman that that's enough, mizonot is enough. But over here he says it's not just mizonot, it has to be mizonot with kviyut sudah. Right, so the Mishnah Berurah here suggests, based on your question, I mentioned this before, that on Shabbat morning, if you are eating mizonot for your kiddush, and that you have to classify as kiddush b'makom suda, you're classifying as a suda, then if it's good enough for Shabbat to be a suda, then it's got to be good enough for sukkah, and you would make a leishei basukkah in that case. The Mishnah Berurah writes that if you go to drink, and people are drinking bikviut, I mean, that's like a drinking club that they go and they drink, that you make a leishei basukkah on the yayin, even though maybe but generally you wouldn't make it on the yayin, but if it's a kviut for yayin, then for things for sure that you should make a bracha leishei basukkah. Right, just a little bit of a stira in the Mishnah Berurah about what triggers it. But again, generally the trigger is even anything should trigger your need to make a bracha. The minog is only to do it over achila. And even with achila, there's question as to what triggers it within achila. Do you need mizonot? Do you need mizonot bikviot? Do you need pot? But our minog is generally, by mizonot, is to make leshev basukah. And generally to only make it over achila. But again, if you go in there at night, and you've been out of the sukkah, and you're going to sleep there, and you're going to be there all night sleeping, you're not going to eat there, the Mishnah Berurah thinks that you should definitely make a leshev ba sukkah. Again, the importance of sukkah, the mitzvah of sukkah to Sukkot, is because teshuvah kein taduru. The whole concept of Sukkot is to be out of your house in the sukkah. The mitzvah of sukkah is so integral to the celebrating of Sukkot, that making leshev ba sukkah is triggered by your being there. The experience of being in the sukkah is enough to trigger that bracha. Now that has nafka minot here in terms of the shechianu. So now we have to discuss shechianu. Gemara here raised the issue of making a shechianu. Early on it says, when you make your lulav, make a shechianu. You make your sukkah, make a shechianu. Tosafot mentions in the Yerushalmi that there is a bracha al asiyat sukkah. That you make a bracha on the asiyat sukkah, not shechianu, lasot sukkah. So you're making a sukkah, you make the bracha there. Tosafot equates the two and says that the shechianu that we would make in a siyat sukkah is equivalent to the Yerushalmi's ala siyat sukkah, meaning that they would be triggered at the same point in time. Later on, the Gemara we're going to see today, that's only if it's your sukkah. You built your own sukkah. What happens if the sukkah was built for you, and now you're going to the sukkah? You can't make a shechianu on the siyat sukkah because you didn't make the sukkah. So then, the Gemara says later on, and it's the latter half of the Tosefta that we just quoted, that you make a bracha of Leisheva Sukkah, and then you make a Shechianu. So you make the Shechianu together with the Leisheva Sukkah. Tosefot infers from there, that if you made the Shechianu on the Asiyat Sukkah, that's it. That you wouldn't make another Shechianu for Leisheva Sukkah. And he says, why? Okay, because you already made a Shechianu on the Mitzvah. What about the fact that it's Yom Tov? We make a Shechianu like on Shavuot. We make a bracha of Shechianu. There's no mitzvah. It's because of the Yom Tov itself. Kedushat HaYom. On the Chag, we make a Shechianu. So what happens to that Shechianu? Don't you have to make a Shechianu on Sukkot itself? Forget about Sukkah. You have to make a bracha on Shechianu. So his answer is, Tosfot says an unbelievable thing. He says that possibly the Shechianu that you make on the building of the Sukkah would be poter you for the Shechianu on Sukkot itself for Yom Tov. Wow. You made the Shechianu before Yom Tov. You didn't make it on Yom Tov. Generally, we say when it comes to Yom Tov, you can make the Shechianu anytime during Yom Tov. Because it's Kedushat HaYom, it's the Chag. Anytime you can make a Shechianu. But before the Chag, that you make a Shechianu? Why should that help you out at all? So Tosfot says, no, maybe by Sukkah, the Shechianu. That's an amazing statement about the connection between Sukkah and the Yom Tov of Sukkot. This is what I just mentioned now. That the Shechianu that you make for the building of the Sukkah will count for the Shechianu of Yom Tov. That's how integral the Sukkah is to Sukkot. The Yom Tov Sukkot doesn't exist without Sukkah. Sukkah is the Yom Tov Sukkot. Living in the Sukkah, that is Sukkot. And therefore the Shechianu that you make on the building of the Sukkah will take care of your Yom Tov bracha of Shechianu. I mean, we don't pass them like what Tosfot suggests over here, but it's an amazing statement about the connection between Sukkah and Sukkot, but we also, by Yom Tov Sheni, Shel Goliot, we make a Shechianu on the first day and the second day. Why? Because if on the first day you made a Shechianu, and it wasn't Yom Tov, then when you go to make Shechianu on the second day, then it's a good Shechianu, because the first Shechianu didn't count, because it was Chol. It was before Yom Tov, and that's why you need to make the second Shechianu. So that explains why in Yom Tov Sheni you make Shechianu, but that really is premised on the fact that making Shechianu beforehand wouldn't help you for Sukkot. That's against what Tosafot says over here. Now, with regards to Shechianu, when do you make a Shechianu, and when do you make a bracha on the Maisa Mitzvah? So I'm not going to get so much into Maisa Mitzvah. We discussed this before. Why was the Yerushalmi say you make a bracha on the making of a Sukkah? And why would you make a bracha? The Gemara there has a bracha on the making of Tzitzit. So we spoke more about the Nitziv, who in the Emek Shela makes a statement about what we call Hechsher Mitzvah Kotu B'Torah. When the Asiyata Mitzvah is written in the Torah, there we might make a bracha. You have a Havamina to make a bracha about it, and very possibly you would make a Shechianu on that item for the Asiyah. And that is, for instance, Tzitzit, which we talk about, the Sukkah. These are all Hechsher Mitzvah Katuv B'Torah, and that's why they generate the bracha on the Asiyah, or a Shechianu on the Asiyah. By Lulav, it's a Safek. By Lulav, we saw that earlier. Do you compare Lulav to Sukkah, or do you not compare Lulav to Sukkah in terms of the Asiyah? And that would have Nafkamino in terms of the Shechianu. Nobody thinks you make a Shechianu on the binding or making of the Lulav. Many of the poskim believe you do make a Shechianu on the building of a Sukkah. Our practice, we'll see later on in the Gemara, is to make that Shechianu when you first sit in the Sukkah. On Kiddush, the Shechianu that you make on Leishev Basukah on the first night, but all for Zman, for Yom Tov, for Leishev Basukah, and for Biniyat Sukkah, for the building of Sukkah, you should have it in mind. And that's why when you make that first Shechianu, you should have it in mind of Biniyat Sukkah. But we do acknowledge that the Biniyat Sukkah has significance by making that Shechianu attached to it. Tosafot wants to know, how do you know when you make a Shechianu? When do you make a bracha of Shechianu? Tosafot says, some mitzvot we make a Shechianu. Other mitzvot, we don't make a Shechianu. How do you know when to make a Shechianu and not to make a Shechianu? He says, well, it seems to be that any mitzvah that there's simcha associated with, that's where you make a bracha of Shechianu. But in the end, he brings down from the Rav Shri Ragon, who says that's not enough. You have to have something that comes mizman lizman. And generally, that's the way that we make brachot. It has to be something mizman lizman. It has to be something that's periodic. And number two is it has simcha associated with it. Those are the two qualifications to trigger a Birkat Shechianu. Now that has nafkamina for Brit Milah and Pidyon HaBen. Tosafot says that definition makes it questionable. Why by Pidyon HaBen do you make a Birkat Shechianu? That's not something that comes mizman lezman. That comes once, and that's it. And that's the reason why some people say Milah doesn't get a Shechianu. It comes once, not coming mizman lezman. There is a machloket Rishonim with regards to the Shechianu by Milah. Do you make a Shechianu? Do not make a Shechianu. There's some that say it's not found in Shas. There's no Shechianu ever mentioned on Milah in Shas, so therefore there's no reason to make a Shechianu on Brit Milah. Others explain Sara di Yinoka, that there's the pain of the Tinok, and therefore we don't make a Shechianu because of the Simcha is diminished by the fact that there is Sara di Yinoka. Others say it doesn't come Izman Lezman. It's not something that happens on a periodic basis. Others say it's Taloy, and who does the Brit Milah? Question, if the father does the Brit Milah, then maybe he should make a Shechianu. If it's the Shliach that's doing the Brit Milah, then maybe he can't make the Shechianu, because the mitzvah is Mutal Av, and he's just the Shliach, so maybe he can't make a Shechianu in that case. And it turns out in the end that the Bnei Eretz Yisrael followed the Gra, the Rambam, who says that you do make a Birkat Shechianu on Milah, similar to the Sfaradim. The Sfaradim always make Birkat Shechianu Milah. And the practice of Bnei Ashkenaz and Chutz Laaretz is not to make a Shechianu on a Brit Milah. Now, as far as Pidyon HaBen, there you don't have Tzara de Yinoka. There you have a duration of 30 days before you do it. And some of the Rishonim say that that's enough. The fact that you have a 30-day gap between the day the baby's born and the Pidyon HaBen, that's already called Mizman Lizman. 30 days is enough to be called Zman Lizman, and therefore you can make a bracha. Milah is too early on to be Mizman Lizman. Just the fact that the mitzvah, you wait 30 days, that's enough to generate a, what's called Mizman Lizman. 30 days is a Zman Chashuv. That's how they term it. Zman Chashuv, and therefore you can make the bracha of Shechianu by the Pidyon HaBen. But our practice, and the practice of everyone, is to make a Shechianu by Pidyon HaBen, whereas by Milah, it's much more questionable. So how is Lulav differentiated from Matzah? Matzah, there's a mitzvah to eat matzah on the first night. Midoraita, there's a mitzvah. Just like Lulav, there's a mitzvah to do it on the first day, to take the Lulav. So both those cases, you're going to make a bracha. In the subsequent 6 days, for matzah, according to some, it's a reshut, it's optional. According to the Gra, it's a kiyuma mitzvah, but there's no tzivoy. There's no demand that you eat matzah on the subsequent 6 days. Whereas by lulav, the subsequent 6 days, you have a mitzvah d'rabbanan, because of zeichel l'mikdash, to take the lulav. And because of that, it triggers a bracha on lulav, which is different than matzah. Right now, the Gemara continues. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Mitzvah lulav kol shiva. The mitzvah lulav is all 7 days. Moshe ben Levi Amar, Yom Rishon mitzvah lulav, Mikam Elech mitzvah tzkenim. The first day is a mitzvah lulav, afterwards a mitzvah tzkenim, meaning it's a din derabonon, zeichel l'mikdash. Rabbi Yitzchak Amar, Kol Yomah mitzvah tzkenim, Vafilu Yom Rishon. So he says all 7 days it's a mitzvah derabonon. Gemara says even Yom Rishon. Vakaimelon derom Yishon deoraita. Everybody agrees that Yom Rishon is deoraita. Ema bar mi Yom Rishon. Mitzvah tzkenim except for the first day. Yochi, I know the Rabbi Shuben Levi. Then that's the same din as Rabbi Shuben Levi, who just said the first day is Doraita, the remaining days are the Rabbonon. So he says, Eima b'chein amar Rabbi Yitzchak. You're right. That's what Rabbi Yitzchak says, yeah, similar to Rabbi Shuben Levi. First day is Doraita, the other days are Dirabanan. And in implying that they're Dirabanan, he means you're not going to make a bracha on them, because mitzvah Dirabonon, you don't make a bracha on. V'af Rav Savar Koshiva mitzvah Lulav. Rav also believes that all 7 days is a mitzvah Lulav. Dam Rabbi Chiya Barash Yom Rav, Madlik Ner Shochanukah, Tzarich Levarech. That person who lights Ner Chanukah has to make a bracha. Rabbi Yirmiyahu Amar, Ro'e Ner Shochanukah, Tzarich Levarech. Someone who sees a Ner Chanukah has to make a bracha. What brachas do you make on Ner Chanukah? Dam Rabbi Yehuda, Yom Rishon, on the first day, a madlik. Someone is lighting Nerot Chanukah, Mevarech Shalosh. He makes 3 brachot. Haroeh, Mevarech Shtayim, and the Roeh makes 2 brachot. What are the 3 brachot of the madlik? Asher Kiddushanu Mitzvah Vitzivanu Ladlik Ner Shel Chanukah, She'asa Nisim Labuteinu, and Shechiyanu. The Roeh makes 2 brachot, which are She'asa Nisim Labuteinu, and the bracha of Shechiyanu. Mikan Veilech, from then onward, meaning on the second night and the subsequent nights, the madlik is Mevarech Shtayim. The lighter makes 2 brachot, Ladnik Ner Shel Chanukah and She'asa Nisim. V'roeh Mevarech Achat, and the one who sees it only makes 1 bracha, which is She'asa Nisim. Umay Mevarech, what bracha do you make on Erot Chanukah? Baruch Hashem Kiddushanu Mitzvah V'tzivanu, Ladnik Ner Shel Chanukah, or Ladnik Ner Chanukah. V'heichan Tzivanu, what do you mean V'tzivanu? Where is there a Tzivu in the Torah to light Erot Chanukah? Melo Tasur. That's from Lo Tasur. Yes, it's a Dindor Albonon. But once the Rabbanon instituted it, now you're under obligation to do it because lo tasur, you're not allowed to leave the words of the Rabbanon. You have to mekayim the words of the Rabbanon. Nachma Yitzchak Amar, Shalavicho v'yagedcha zekenecha v'yomru lach. And that Shalavicho v'yagedcha, you have to ask for what the Mesorah is, v'yagedcha, and they'll tell you what you have to do. And then you have to listen to them. So there is a requirement of listening to those that have the Mesorah, those that are the Rabbonon. And therefore, Vitzivanu is that Tzivoy, to upkeep or to keep what the Rabbonon say. So that is what grants you permission to say Vitzivanu. So what the Gemara is suggesting over here is that Rav's position with regards to Ner Chanukah would apply by Lulav as well. Just like Lulav, the first day is Doraita, the subsequent days are Dirabbonon. The Rabbanon, you would still make a bracha of Asher Kiddushanu Mitzvah V'tzivanu Al Nitilat Lulav, even though it's only the Rabbanon, because the Rabbanons require a bracha of V'tzivanu, and therefore it's appropriate to make a bracha in the subsequent days. So that means now that Rav and Shmuel are Kayim in the same position. Rav, just we said here, we infer from him, and Shmuel, we just said before, both of them agree that for the 7 days, you make the bracha on the Lulav. And since they both agree that we make a bracha al lulav, therefore, we make a bracha al lulav all 7 days. Now, a re'eh nerot chanukah is a topic that we discussed in Bamei Madlikin. Rashi says, a re'eh nerot chanukah kaya shlo hidlik bebeito. It's only someone who didn't light in his house. So that's a person who makes a bracha on re'iyah. That's subject to machloket rishonim as to when do you make a bracha on the re'iyah. First of all, if you're going to light in your house, almost everybody says that you don't make a bracha on the riyah because you're going to do ladlika or the oath later on. Better to do the hadlaka and make it then. But what happens in a number of scenarios? In a scenario where they're lighting for you in your house, do you then make a birkat riyah? That's subject to machloket rishonim, whether you make a birkat riyah when you are being lit for by your house. Your household lit the candles. Do you make a birkat riyah separately? There is a Me'iri, it's an unusual Me'iri who has a big chiddush here in the Birkat Riyah, which says, "Valim lo birech adayim bebeito, meinu atid levarech gon ben bayit ben bevet aviv, o oreach bebeit ushpizin mevarech, ve'im atid levarech adayin unzarech levarech b'riyato achshav." And I don't think so. So he says here that in terms of making the bracha on the riyah, Number one is if you're not going to be the one who makes the bracha later on the candles, then you for sure should make a Birkat Ariyah. Even though you're going to be Yotzei wherever you are, then you should make a Birkat Ariyah, even though you're going to be Yotzei, the mitzvah of Hadlaka later on with someone else. Number two is if you yourself are going to light, for sure don't make a bracha until you've lit. If some people are lighting for you in your house, most poskim say don't light, don't make a Birkat Ariyah. The Meir says, I don't think that's right. He says you should make a Birkat Ariyah if you're not going to light yourself, even though they're lighting for you in your house. And then he has a bigger chiddush. Mi shein lo lahadlik, venu makom shei efshar lo lirot. It's a place he's not going to light candles, and he's not going to see any candles. Yesh omrim shemevarech latzmo shatzoa nisim v'shechiyanu v'layla rishona v'asha nisim b'chol elot v'advarim nirim. He says, I think he's right. So he says that Chanukah has a din like Kedushas Hayom of Yom Tov. Just like Kedushas Hayom of Yom Tov triggers a shechiyanu, independent of any mitzvah. He's saying the same thing by Chanukah. The brecha of Shas Anisim and Shechiyanu is triggered by Chanukah itself. Nothing to do with Nerot Chanukah. Obviously, if you're going to have Nerot Chanukah, we're going to associate it with the Nerot Chanukah. But if not, he says it's an independent brecha, and you can say Shas Anisim and Shechiyanu. It's a massive kiddush of the Meiri. The Briskers have a practice also to say that the mitzvah of Nerot Chanukah is really broken down into two components. One is the Hadlik, and the other one is the Re'iyah. And that the bracha you make in the beginning of Shekin Shana Mitzvah Tzivanu Ladlik Neirot Shel Chanukah, that's the lighting of the candle. Then the Asa Nisim that you make in the Shechiyanu, even for one who's lighting the candles, that's Birkat Ariyah. That's only when you see the candles lit. So there makbi to first make the bracha Ladlik Neir Shel Chanukah, light the first candle. Then, only then do they make the bracha of Shasa Nisim Labuteinu, and maybe Shechiyanu, because they think that that's associated with the Riyat and Neirot. So they light the first candle, then make those subsequent brachot in order to capture the Riyah aspect of it. Promise on the first night, that doesn't work so well. On the first night, there's only one candle to light. Don't light anything subsequent, so there you'd have to make all the brachot beforehand. But they say embedded in the mitzvah is both al-hadlaka and a Riyah ta-neirot. And that's where this Riyah ta-neirot comes from. It's part of the mitzvah of hadlaka neirot. It's just embedded together. When you're a madlik, you're doing both. You're both madlik and Riyah. So that's why you say all the brachot. But when you separate out and you don't have the hadlakah, there's still the mitzvah of riyat that exists. That is their practice in terms of riyat, neirot, chanukah. Right? In terms of lotasur, I'm not going to go too much in depth to this. We discussed this again in Bamei Manlikin when we did the sugya by mitzvot Rabbanan. There is machloket aposkim exactly how this works. What is a brocho derabanan on a mitzvah derabanan? What exactly is the din of lotasur with regards to a mitzvah derabanan? Is it that you have to just not violate what the Rabbanan say? Or is there a directive that you have to keep the mitzvah in particular that the Rabbanan say? And there's differentiation amongst the Rishonim and Achronim with regards to how to view the issue of lotasur, the mitzvah to keep mitzvot the Rabbanan, and the fact that we make a bracha of asher kiddishanu mitzvotav vitzivanu. What's the tzivoy that we're keeping? And what is the requirement to listen to the Rabbonon in mitzvot derabbonon? Where the Rambam believes that every mitzvot derabbonon is covered by lotasur, but the Ramban says lotasur only applies to interpretation of the chachamim of Divrei Torah, when they're being mefereish din d'oraita. With something that's purely derabbanan, lotasur is not applicable, because otherwise you'd run into a problem. How can you ever say safek derabbanon lahakel? Because it's always an Isur de'oraita. The Mesh of Chochmah believes that, according to the Rambam, the Isur de'oraita is simply to listen to the Chachamim, Shalotasu Agudot Agudot. It's not about the particular mitzvah, it's about just being Lishma'a Divrei Chachamim. And that's why, Safek Rabbanan Zulkula, because it's not about the particular mitzvah, it's about the general principle of listening to the Chachamim. And there in a Safek, we could be Mekil, because that won't lead to a problem of Agudot Agudot. Chanan Molesterman brings a similar type of concept, but he says it in the Divrei HaRamban, not in the Rambam, implying that the Rambam would believe that the mitzvah derabbanan is even in the particulars of the mitzvah, whereas the Ramban believes that there's just a general isur d'oraita of lotasur, but not with the particular of that mitzvah. I'll send you the Makorot again. It's in Machloket, it's the Rambam, the Ramban, the Ran, we saw the Meshech Chochmah. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Mani Lo V'Hedjo. Rav Nachman Yitzchak had Rav's statement openly, meaning not that he inferred it from Nerot Chanukah, but particularly, Amar Rav, Kol Shiva Mitzvah Lulav. All 7 days is a mitzvah lulav, and make a bracha. Right, Tana Banan, Oseh Sukkah Le'atzmo, Omer Baruch Shechiyanu. Nichnas L'Sheba, Omer Baruch Asher Kedishanu. That's the Tosefta that we quoted before. Now here's the second half of the Tosefta, which I told you about before. Haytav Suyav V'Omedet. If the Sukkah is already built, Im Yochol L'Chadesh Ba'Davar Mivarech. If you can change, make a small alteration, to the sukkah, then you can make the bracha of Shehecheyanu when you do that al bniyat sukkah. Bimlav, the shikanes, leshevba mevarech shtayim. Then when he enters it, he makes two brachot, meaning the leshevba sukkah and the Shehecheyanu. And this is where Tosafot was midayek, that if you made the Shehecheyanu before, then you would not make it when you sat in the sukkah, because the bniyat sukkah would count. Ravashi, chazina le Rav Kahana, dekamalu lekula kasa de kidusha. I saw that he made all the brachot on the coast of Kiddush, and that's our practice, is that we make the bracha of Shehecheyanu, Leishev Basukah, everything together on Kiddush, to include the Bniyata Sukkah, the Shivata Sukkah. We make one Shehecheyanu that captures all three items. Zman, Sukkah, Leishev Basukah, and Bniyata Sukkah. Tan Rabbanan, Ayu Lefanav Mitzvot Arbe. He has in front of him multiple mitzvot. Omer Baruch Hashir Kiddushanu Mitzvot Vitzivanu, Ala Mitzvot. Make a bracha, Ala Mitzvot. Which is interesting, that one can group all of these mitzvot together. Rashi says, mitzvot harbei, li tol lulav, li shei basukah, li niach tefillin, li tatei pitzitzit. All of these things are all in one shot. So Rashi is seeing this even at a doraita level, that you can make one bracha that captures all the mitzvot. You gotta make a separate bracha on each mitzvah. From Rabbi Zeir, Rabbi Yitem, Rabbi Chanina, Bar Papa, Hilchotok Rabbi Yehuda. The locha is like Rabbi Yehuda. From Rabbi Zeir, Rabbi Yitem, Rabbi Chanina, Bar Papa, my time with Rabbi Yehuda. What's the reasoning behind Rabbi Yehuda's position? Yechtei Baruch Hashem Yom Yom. It is a Baruch Hashem for each day. Chi B'yom Mevarchim Oto, B'layla Eim Mevarchim Oto. What does that mean? During the day you say Baruch Hashem, at night you don't say Baruch Hashem. Abalu Malacha, B'chol Yom V'yom, Tein Lo Me'ein Birkotav. On each day you have to give the appropriate bracha associated with that day. So that's Rashi says, Shabbat, main Shabbat, Shachol, main Chol, Yom Tov, main Yom Tov. That you have to tailor your brachot to the nature of the day or the nature of the experience. So, Achanami, b'chol, dover, v'dover, tein lo main bir kotav. Similarly over here, every bracha you should make based on the mitzvah that you're about to accomplish. So now, that's very interesting because there is a machlok between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, the Gemara and brachot in Perek Shishi about brachot on items. We make brachot for peirot and for yirakot. We make borei pri adamah, borei pri ha'etz. Rabbi Yehuda over there, the Shita Do says you should make a more particular bracha. And you should have more specific brachot, not just borei pri ha'etz and borei pri adamah. You should specify what you're eating, right? And you should be more particular. Over there, we don't paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, yet over here, we do paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. So it might have to do with the nature of the brachot. Over there, the brachot are birkat hanenin. In Birkat HaNenin, making a generic statement about the fact that Hashem is the source might be enough. By Birkat HaMitzvah, what is the purpose of Birkat HaMitzvah? Why do we make a bracha on a mitzvah? It's a din der rabbanan to make a bracha on a mitzvah, but it might have to do with the equivalent of hinini mukhan. People say the hinini mukhan before they do a mitzvah. It's what? It's to get your kavanah, to line yourself up for the mitzvah. It might be that's exactly what the bracha was established for. The whole point of making a bracha is to say, I'm now about to do a mitzvah. That action that I'm about to take is a mitzvah. It's about engendering the proper kavanah and focusing the individual on the maisa they're about to do to be a maisa mitzvah. So that's why the bracha has to be particular. If you just say ala mitzvot, you may not have gained what you're looking for, which is the directive towards that mitzvah. And that might be why we pass him like Rabbi Yehuda by Birkat HaMitzvot, and we don't pass him like him by Birkat HaNe'anin, because they're after different endgames. Over here, we're trying to get kavanat mitzvah. Over there, we're just trying to thank Hashem and ask permission from Hashem to take it. There, a more generic statement might be enough. Over here, the particular statement is important to the kavanat mitzvah. Rami Rizer, V'yitem Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa. Bo ure'ei, shalom midat HaKadosh Baruch Hu midat basar v'dam. Hashem's not like human beings. Midat basar v'dam, klirikan, makzik, malei, enu makzik. An empty utensil, you fill it up, you can put things into it. A full utensil, you can't put anything into it. Aval midat HaKadosh Baruch Hu, mid of Hashem is not the way. Malei, makzik. If it's full, it holds more. Rekan, enu makzik. It's empty, it doesn't hold anything. Shneamar, vaya im shamoa tishma. That if you, we say this every day in Kriyat Shema, that if you shamoa tishma, the doubling of the Lashon. Im shamoa, if you've listened, then tishma, you'll hear more. Vimlav, lo tishma, but if not, you will not hear. So another one is davar acherim shamo biyashan. If you listen to the old stuff, tishma b'chadash, then you'll hear the new things. V'mifnei levavcha, but if you take your heart away and you leave things below, shuv lo tishma, then you won't hear anymore. Now Rashi brings it in two contexts. He says if you listen, learn the Torah, then you'll continue to build, meaning that Torah requires a base. If you have the base, then you continue to build on the Torah. You don't learn Torah, you're not going to learn more Torah. It's a multiplicative effect. in the fact that you learned. So if you learned, you can add more to it. If you haven't learned, then there's nothing to add to it. He also brings it, regards, tashmeya b'yashan, if you listen to the old stuff, meaning if you do chazara over what you've learned, then titchakeim bo lavin, you'll see new insights when you go through it each time. So every time you chazar through something, you'll look and see new insights, new chidushim that you haven't seen before. So therefore, if you go over the old, you'll have something new. By the way, it's very true. Anybody who learns daf yomi knows this. If you go through a number of cycles, that every time you go through the cycle, where you are in your life and the context of the year and all these things lend a different perspective or prism to what you're learning. And therefore you see things with a different view, and that allows for new chidushim or new insights into what you are learning. So that's one possibility. The other possibility is if you learned when you're young, then you'll learn again when you are older. You have what to add to. If you don't learn when you're young, there'll be nothing to add to when you are older. You're starting from zero. Right now, miyad tinokot. We said in the Mishnah that they used to grab away the lulavim and the etrogim from the tinokot. And Rabbi Yochanan, etrog bishvi'i asur bishmini mutar. The etrog on the seventh day is asur, but on the eighth day it is mutar. Sukkah afili bishmini asura. Sukkah, even on the eighth day, is asur. This relates to a Tosafot that we spoke about on Daf Yud Amud Bet, early in the Masechta, which is objects that become muksa le mitzvoto. They become muksa because they're designated for the mitzvah, and since they're designated for the mitzvah, you can't do with them as you please. So with regards to the etrog, Rabbi Yochanan says that the etrog is designated for a mitzvah for the 7-day period. It's muksa le mitzvoto, and therefore you can't eat it during the 7 days. On the 8th day, on Shmini Atzeret already, you can eat the etrog. On the other hand, when it comes to Sukkah, Sukkah is muksala mitzvata, not only for the 7 days, but even on the 8th day, even on Shmini Atzeret. Even though there's no requirement to sit in the Sukkah, there's still a problem in terms of muksa for the Sukkah. You can't utilize the schach, you can't utilize the Sukkah for other things, because it's still muksala mitzvata on the 8th day. Shlokish amar etrog afilu b'shvi nami mutar. Shlakish says that even on the 7th day you can use the etrog. But my come if the gay, what's the machlok here between Rabbi Yochanan and Shlakish? Marsava le mitzvoto itkatze. That muksa has to do with the mitzvah. Once you've accomplished the mitzvah, the muksa is over. So for the first 7 days, every day there's still the subsequent day's mitzvah. On the 7th day, once you've done the mitzvah, you're done. So since you're done, then you're freed of the muksa le mitzvoto and you can eat the etrog as soon as you finish. Umarsava le kula yoma itkatze. The muksa has to do with the day. If you need it on that day, it's muksa for that entire day, the mitzvoto, even though you've accomplished the mitzvah. So Rabbi Yochanan says it's mitzvoto the kule yoma, whereas Reish Lakish says after you accomplish the mitzvah, you're done. Eighth way, Reish Lakish to Rabbi Yochanan, Reish Lakish challenged Rabbi Yochanan from our Mishnah. Miyad tino kot shumtim et lulavim, v'ochlim etrogim. You start pull away the lulavim and eat their etrogim. That's on the 7th day. That's on Hoshana Rabbah. They used to do it. My love, who adin the gdolim? They didn't only do this to the ktanim, they also did it to the gdolim, meaning everybody ate their etrogim on the 7th day. Mars says, low, tinoko davko. Only the children's etrogim did they eat. What's different about the children's etrogim? Rashi says over here, shalo huksa le mitzvah gemura. It's not for a real full mitzvah, because the fact that the children are taking it is only demitzad chinuch. So it's a mitzvah chinuch, so it's not a full force muksa le mitzvah, and therefore he can eat it. Tosafot doesn't like this. On the Mishnah, he mentioned that he didn't like that explanation in Rashi, and therefore he favored the second interpretation that Rashi rejects over here, which is that, not that the Gdolim took the etrogim of the Ktanim, but the Ktanim themselves dropped their lulavim and ate their etrogim themselves. That's what it means, shumtim. Shumtim is they dropped out of their hand the lulav, and then they ate their etrog. So the Ktanim ate their own etrogim. Rashi doesn't like that explanation. He brings a midrash that tells the story of a chassid echad on that last day of Hoshana Rabbah who grabbed an etrog from a kid. Then he went off on a long journey and he got to a place where they needed an etrog for refuah. He was able to sell it for a lot of money and he was made wealthy by this etrog. But it's clear there that he was in a gadol who took an etrog from a katan. So Rashi favors that interpretation, but then he has more difficulty explaining why only by Ktanim can the Gdolim eat their etrogim and not by the Gdolim? So he calls it, it's not a full-fledged mitzvah. That's what he distinguishes. Tosafot doesn't like that distinction, and therefore he favors the interpretation that it was the Ktanim themselves that dropped their gulav and ate their own etrogim. Ika da'amrei, some have it rephrased this way. Eitvei Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan challenged Reish Lakish from our Mishnah. Miyad ha-tinokot shomtim et luvim v'oklim etrogim. Tinokot in Gdolim lo. From the Tinokot, yes. From the Gdolim, no. So when it says, no, who adin afilu gdolim, they even do it from the gdolim, agtani tinokot, or chadimil toktani, from the tinokot, that's just the way that it happened. Meaning that it wasn't that you had to do that, but you usually can't grab something away from a gadol, but you can't grab something away from a katan. So shumtim yadayim, that happens from the ktanim, and that's why the Mishnah mentions the ktanim, but it'd be true of the gdolim as well, that they ate their etrogim. Amale rab popula abayi, li rab yochanan, according to rab yochanan shita, maishna suga, maishna etrog. What's the difference between Sukkah, that's Muksa even on the 8th day, and a Etrog that's only Muksa on the 7th day? He says, I'm like, Sukkah, the Chazia leben Hashmashot, Sukkah, which is necessary, ben Hashmashot. If he had to eat ben Hashmashot, by Meitav Begava, Umechal Begava, he would have to sit there and eat in the Sukkah. Because ben Hashmashot is a Safek Yom Safek Laila. That means ben Hashmashot, between the 7th and 8th day, you would have to sit in the Sukkah in order to eat at that time. That means that the Sukkah is still relevant, ben Hashmashot. Well, it's relevant, ben Hashmashot. Did God say the ben Hashmashot? Then it's Muksa the ben Hashmashot. We know the din is Amigo. Did God say the ben Hashmashot? Did God say the Kula Yom HaDashmini? It's Muksa ben Hashmashot, then it's Muksa for the entire 8th day. Etrog, the lo chazi the ben Hashmashot. Etrog, that is, not Ra'ui the ben Hashmashot. Because once you've done the mitzvah during the day, there's no reason to take Lulav and Etrog subsequent to that point in time. You only take a Lulav and Etrog from Achad Bayom. And since you only take a pam achad bayom, the mitzvah is done. So ben hashmashot, it's no longer relevant. As Rashi mentions that if you haven't yet taken it during the day, then you would take it all day. And then it might become relevant during ben hashmashot. So that might be a difference. If a person hasn't taken lulav and etrog that day, it might be that the lulav and etrog then becomes muksa the mitzvoto, even through ben hashmashot for lulav and etrog. And then it might have a different din. We mentioned back on Yudam and Bet, the same difficulty with sukkah, which is that to eat ben hashmashot, you would not be able to eat in a sukkah ben hashmashot, because you need to make kiddush, because of the safek shmini, and therefore you really wouldn't be able to do it. But theoretically, you would have to eat in a sukkah ben hashmashot, and that's basically what Rashi seems to be saying here. Apagav delo chazi ben hashmashot, even though you can't utilize it during ben hashmashot, practically you can't utilize it, but since you would be required to eat there ben hashmashot, that's enough to trigger this muksa l'mitzvot of ben hashmashot. But etrog do chazi ben hashmashot lo itkatzah the ben hashmashot. It's not muksa ben hashmashot, but lo itkatzah the kulei yom adishmini. Therefore, it's not muksa for the entire 8th day. The Levi amar etrog afilu bishmini asur. Levi says etrog on the 8th day is asur as well, and that Tosafot suggests is because it's a gzeira otu. It's a gzeira otu sukkah. Etrog, you're right, should be fine, even according to Levi. It's just there goes there out to Sukkah that the 8th day is problematic. He says, no, that we don't make such a gzeira. Come Avua de Shmuel b'shitata de Levi. Later on, we find that Avua Shmuel took the shita of Levi, that even Etrog is a sur on Shmini because of the gzeira out to Sukkah. And come Rabbi Zeira b'shita de Avua de Shmuel. And Rabbi Zeira held of the position of Shmuel, which is similar to Rabbi Yochanan, that etrog is only asur on the 7th day, not the 8th day, whereas sukkah is asur on the 7th and 8th day. Tamar Rabbi Zeira, etrog shenifsala asur l'chla kol shiva. Zeira says, an etrog that is pasul, you cannot eat it on the 7th day. But it seems from him that after the 7th day, it will be completely mutar to eat the etrog, similar to what Avua de Shmuel said and what Rabbi Yochanan said. Tamar Rabbi Zeira, lo likne ine shoshana liyinoka b'yomotova kama. Person should not give over a lulav or a etrog to a katan on the first day. My time, what's the reason? The yinoka mikno kani aknu yelo makne. A child has the ability to acquire, but he does not have the ability to give. Now, truthfully, he has neither power. He, since he's a katan, he's not a bardat. He doesn't have the ability to make a kinyan to accept, and he doesn't have the ability to make a kinyan to give. Right? Kinyanim go in bidirectional. You can have a kinyan which means that you accept ownership, and there's a kinyan where you relinquish ownership. Katan, since he's not a bar dat, cannot do either of those items because it requires dat in order to have a kinyan. It's a gemira dat. It brings closure to a transaction, and the kinyan is the either symbolic or sometimes it's the practical exchange of ownership. And so katan doesn't have that ability. The Rabbonon granted a katan the ability to acquire. Mishum darke sholo, mishum gezel de rabbonon. They didn't want it that a katan could acquire something and then somebody could grab it away from them because they technically didn't have kinyan, they didn't have ownership over it. So therefore, the chachamim granted tanim the ability to acquire objects. So since they have the ability to acquire objects, now they can have ownership over it, at least mid rabbanan. On the other hand, they didn't grant them the right to relinquish control because that's a much higher level of bardat, and we didn't want people to force tanim to sell them things or coerce them into selling them things. So the katan has a unidirectional type of kinyan. He can accept, but he cannot give. So what Rabbi Zeira is suggesting over here is, don't give a lulav and etrog to the katan, because once he has that, he acquires it and he can't give it back to you. And if he can't give it back to you, then you have a problem. Why? Because ishtakach, the katan ofik, b'lulav sheino shalo. Then if the katan owns it, and now you're trying to be yotze the mitzvah lulav on the first day, the mitzvah lulav on the first day has to be mishalachem, has to be yours. And if it's not yours, you're not yotze. Now it's the katan's, and you can't be yotze. So because of that, you should first do the mitzvah and only give it to a katan if you want to have your children be yotzei the mitzvah and you can grant them your lulav and etrog. You should only do it after anybody who's an adult has been mekayim the mitzvah. Once they're mekayim the mitzvah, because then it's shalachem, there you can do matanah menat achzir, you can do giving, that is a way that they'll have ownership over it. But by the time you get to the katan, that'll be the end of the line, because they'll be the last one that can do it, because they render it useless in terms of mishalachem, because it'll be theirs, and they cannot give it back in order that it will be yours. Person shouldn't promise a katan that he's going to give him something and not give it to them. Because they'll learn how to lie from that. They'll learn that people don't tell the truth. Limdu l'shonam dvar sheker. They taught their speech to be that of lying. I mean, that person should not make it a habit of lying. And the Rabbeinu Yonah in the Masechet Avot actually mentions this in the context of joking around. The person should be very careful not to lie or not to tell truths, because from something that is a joke, it ends up becoming more serious. Because once you engage in the practice of lying, it's very hard to get out of that practice. And therefore, one should be very makpid, especially when they are interacting with ketanim, not to lie, because they will learn from that, that it's okay to lie, it's okay to be deceptive, and that's not what we want to teach the youngsters. Now, the Gemara continues, Pluto, the Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shimon, and Lakish. Here, the Gemara has like a shorthand, but what they're really saying is that the machlok between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish is similar to a nachal other machlok at Amarim that we have, which is Ditmar. He frees Shiva Etrogim, Shiva Yamim. Someone who takes a etrog for each day of Sukkot. He has a separate etrog. Amrav, kol achat v'chat yotzei b'avochla. Rav says that as soon as you're yotzei the mitzvah, you can eat it. La'altar, right away. Rav Asi amar, kol achat v'chat yotzei b'avochla l'machar. Each one of them, you do the mitzvah, and then you can eat it the next day. But my kamiflige, what do they argue about, Rav and Rav Asi? Marsav the mitzvah toit katzei. According to Rav, it's only muksa for the mitzvah. As soon as you're done with the mitzvah, you can eat it. Similar to what Reish Lakish said above. Marsav the kula yomit katzei. And Rav Asi says, no, that it's muksa for the entire day, and therefore you can eat on the subsequent day, similar to Rabbi Yochanan, that once it's muksa the mitzvata, mitzvata is kol hayom. Just to note that Rashi seems to have the girsa reversed, that he has Rav and Rav Asi switched in his girsa based on a statement that he makes here, that Rav and Rabbi Yochanan have the same opinion, which isn't true over here, because Rav is actually like Reish Lakish, the way that we have in our girsa, which seems to indicate, according to the Bach, that Rashi had a different girsa where Rav and Rabbi Yochanan aligned, and Reish Lakish and Rav Asi aligned. We who have 2 days of Yom Tov, how do we deal with this? How do we deal with this issue of Muksa? We said before that Etrog is Muksa l'Shvi'i, and Sukkah is Muksa l'Shmini. So Amar Abayi, Shmini Safek Shvi'i Asur. On Shmini, which is a Safek Shvi'i, it's Asur. She is Safek Shmini Mutar. But on the ninth day, which is Simchat Torah, which is a Safek Shmini, then it's Mutar. Mreimar Amar Afilu, Shmini Safek Shvi'i Mutar. Even the eighth day, which is a suffix of the seventh day, is mutar. The Surah Avdei K'mereimar. In Surah, they used to do like Mereimar, which is that even on the eighth day, it was mutar. And Rav Shisha Breda Ravidi, Avid K'Abaye. He did like Abaye, which is Shmini Safek Shvi is Asur. The Hilchato K'Abaye. And the Locho is like Abaye, and that's the way we paskin, that in Eretz Yisrael, the Lulav and Etrog are only Muksa the Mitzvotah through the end of the seventh day, whereas Sukkah is Muksa the Mitzvotah even through the eighth day. And in Chutz Laaretz, we add on an additional day. And we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan and Rav Asi and Argus are going through Rashi the Rav, that when it's Muksa the Kula Yoma, not just Muksa the Mitzvotah, and therefore it's Asur and Eretz Yisrael the entire seventh day. And Sukkah is Asur the entire eighth day, and Chutz Laaretz Etrog is Asur even the entire eighth day, and Sukkah is Asur the entire ninth day. Okay, we're going to stop over here, because the next sugya deals with sitting in the Sukkah on Shmini Atzeret, and it goes way into Mem Zayin.